In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, in the 9th chapter of Luke's Gospel, twice Jesus spoke to the 12 apostles of his imminent sufferings and death. The reaction was very difficult to understand. Let us give attention to the Gospel reading of Luke chapter 9, verses 46 to 48. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side, and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." God's Word. Brothers and sisters, the 12 seemed to ignore what they heard from Jesus about his coming sufferings and death. They didn't seem to take seriously what they heard. Humanly speaking, it seemed quite unbelievable that their master would not exercise his might against his enemies who wanted to kill him. After all, in their presence, he had manifested such great power against evil spirits and in the healing of seriously ill people and even calming storms. Still, what Jesus shared with them was both solemn and alarming. He spoke of his own death and sufferings. Yet, all they seemed concerned about was which one of them is the greatest. Jesus' response was to point to the little child next to him. The child enjoyed neither manly strength nor leadership ambition. He needed adult attention and care. The challenge for the 12 apostles was to re-examine their own ambitious misunderstanding of the nature of Jesus' kingdom. It is a kingdom altogether different from the kingdoms of the world, where leaders seek after power and privilege, as we see throughout history and even today. A child had nothing to offer, rather, he is needy. To Jesus, the caring for children's needs by adults symbolized the need of all humanity for what he offers through the ones he called to his service. Those who serve in Christ's kingdom must do what he does, that is, to care for others who have nothing to offer in return. This is not the usual attitude of people. Jesus humbled himself and took on himself the nature of a human servant. In another occasion, recorded in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the mother of two of the apostles, James and John, approached Jesus with a request to have her two sons seated in his kingdom, on his right and on his left. Christ realized that James and John desired exactly what their mother requested. He pointed out that they did not know that belonging to him entails suffering. Their mother's ignorant request annoyed the other 10 apostles. Jesus, on his part, addressed them all, saying, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Brothers and sisters, all 12 apostles manifested the usual attitude of people in all walks of life. It is the spirit of envy, jealousy, resentment, and selfishness. By nature, people like to promote themselves and seek to become more important than others and enjoy higher privileges and positions. As God's people, Jews were supposed to live under the divine governorship or theocracy of justice and mercy. The apostles clearly did not understand the nature of Jesus' heavenly kingdom. Jesus specifically identified the spirit reflected by his apostles with that of those whom he called rulers of the Gentiles. The term Gentiles referred to all non-Jews. Gentile rulers were viewed as authoritarian, abusive, and oppressive of their own people. That the apostles could easily understand. After all, they were living under the much-hated Roman occupation. On the other hand, they were also aware of terrible, ungodly events in Israel's history. Self-centered leaders competed over thrones, sought after political, military, and economic power. At times, that involved much oppression and violence, as it does today. Jesus' message is clear. Natural man, whether Jew or Gentile, does not understand God's ways. Jesus, the promised Messiah, came as the self-giving king of a new humanity. In his kingdom, leadership means self-giving service. Jesus does not offer a theoretical lecture on political science. He gave himself in a matchless, exemplary life, concretely living self-giving governance. Jesus lived and practiced the life of the heavenly rabbi that he is. He stooped down lower than being just one of us. He took on the form of a servant. Here we have the combination of divine greatness and human perfection in one person, the Messiah of God. On the one hand, he enjoyed full divine power and authority over all things on earth. On the other hand, he mostly laid aside his power, not exercising material or physical leadership, but rather moral and spiritual perfection. Brothers and sisters, Jesus called and appointed a bunch of fallible men to be his apostles. None of them enjoyed great or admirable stature in society. Even after 3 years of learning in his company, like us, they continued to struggle with the natural tendency to seek after a comfortable and easygoing life. The apostles' temptations were even greater. They were the chosen 12, the select few of the divine Messiah who came to establish a universal kingdom. They viewed themselves as his ruling cabinet. One of them, in charge of finance, was yet to betray him in order to gain 30 pieces of silver. The others had a long way to learn to live a life of self-giving service like their master and king. The words of Jesus must have shaken every part of their being. Service in his kingdom is not about enjoying comfortable or prestigious leadership. It is about spending self. This is what Jesus meant as a foundation for building his growing kingdom. There is no king like him. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why there is no kingdom like his. It is in the world, but not of the world. Jesus' announcement to Pilate sums it all. My kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the message of the blessed gospel. Amen.